welcome to the World Class Podcast. My name is Will Shepherd. I'm here joined by Michelle Miller McNair. Michelle, what's going on?
What's up?
What's up? We are two real estate individuals, experts. Realtors.
We are realtors.
Entities.
I identify as a paid agent.
As a paid agent when the deal is recorded.
For sure.
Yeah, because that's when the commission checks are released.
Which is not then. It's like weeks later.
Weeks later.
I like to identify as paid. That's where I want to go.
Well, this podcast is going to be a little bit of everything pertaining to real estate. So buying, selling, inspections.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
Dealing with lenders. I mean, you name it. We're going to bring some humor to it because it is a very stressful process industry. And bring our experience and knowledge to it.
So why do you think there needs to be another podcast about real estate? What makes it different than when we do it?
Well, I think we're lighting it up. We're bringing some humor to it.
Yeah, I think that's our personalities, yeah. Is that we don't take many things. We take money and taking care of clients seriously. But other than that, it's like, no.
But, I mean, it's not really the Trail of Tears here. So.
Trail of Tears.
Yeah, a lot of people make it the Trail of Tears. I don't know if that's sounding insensitive, but.
I always wanted, wait, stop there. Like, what makes it the Trail of Tears? I just feel like there's got to be a story or something.
Well, you go in buying the largest purchase that you're going to make in your life, and I feel like the blood pressure's already high. And then the home inspection comes back, and their job is to tell you what's wrong with the house. And it's just, oh my God, what did I get myself into? What am I buying? I thought this home was perfect. Side note, there is no perfect house.
Ever.
I don't care if it's new construction or 70 years old. There's going to be something that comes back on the inspection report.
So do you think buying is more stressful? Do you think buying is the Trail of Tears more than the seller is the Trail of Tears? Or does it depend on the market?
I don't even think it depends on the market. I think it's a situation. If the buyer contacts us and says, I need to find a house in 30 days. Well, it takes 30 days sometimes to close the deal, let alone find the house. So if you come to me and say, hey, my lease is expiring in 2 months or a month and I need to be in a permanent house. Yeah, 2 weeks. Good luck. I don't have that magic wand. I would love to say I do, but it's not out there.
So I think what makes us different or makes this different is that, one, we find the lighter side of it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make fun of ourselves and possibly others.
Others, ourselves, yeah.
Not at the expense of others. Like, we're not going to come up here and make our clients look like idiots, but if they do it themselves.
As a former athlete and a coach, it's a coachable moment.
Coachable moment.
Let's talk about our teammates' failures and let's all learn from them.
I think that's the thing about real estate is there's no black and white book of, like, when you get into real estate, this is how you do it. Like, tons of people try to sell you. Did you read a book or anything like that when you started this?
I don't know how to read.
Stop.
No. There's other podcasts you can listen to. There's sales strategies. There's industry experts. Sorry. A little bit of dyslexia there going on. But reading a book, I mean, even if you read a book, it's not black and white is what the book's going to make it seem.
Okay, so we should probably preface that for, like, anybody who doesn't know about real estate. Like,
sure.
We did have to take a whole class. Like, we had to do a class and pass a test and get a license. And, like, you don't just get a real estate license on Amazon. Like, it's not like that.
I feel like this is like bull riding. You can get set up in the bull before the cage is open. Before they open the gate, and you can kind of have an idea of how it's going to go, but you don't know what that bull's going to do once they open the gate.
No, and you can kind of read the book about how it's going to be, like what it's like to ride the bull.
Yeah.
But then until that bull bucks, you have no clue what that
is. You got to go through it.
So we're in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And in North Carolina, what does it take to become a real estate agent?
5 weeks of your life at a minimum. for the...
I guess it depends on the class. Because did you go in-person class?
In-person class.
And how many hours a week?
I don't know. That was a while ago. Four, 5 days? 4 days?
Was it 80 or 90 hours of class?
It was 80 hours, I believe.
Yeah, that's just the pre-licensing.
Yes.
The pre-licensing is the classes that you have to pass the class test.
The pre-licensing class test to sit for the actual real state license test.
Yes. And every state's different. Mm-hmm. I actually saw Groupon had a bunch of states licensing classes on Groupon. If you have a Groupon realtor... Like, I don't even know. Like, I think the class part of it might be okay to get a discount on, but, like, I don't know. That makes me nervous. If I got a group, I will get me the ice cream on the Groupon, but I will not get me a realtor from the Groupon, which realtor and real estate agent are two different things.
Correct.
Did you know that when you went into it?
I did.
You did?
No.
Okay. No, I didn't know that at all. When did you find out that being a realtor was different?
In first week of class, when the instructor hammered home that it's a realtor, not realtor, because down here in the South, we got a lot of, I got a realtor.
But I think the more syllables you add to it, the more legit they are, though. Like, I am a realtor. It hit me hard when they told us that in class, because here I am paying all this money for this class, knowing I'm going to have to pay a couple hundred bucks to the state of North Carolina for my test. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, oh no, to be a realtor, you actually have to pay another set of people, another set of fees.
It's all a money grab.
Like, people are like, you make so much money in real estate. Like, do you know how much money we're paying to be in real estate? I don't think, I didn't know that when I went into it at all. I had no clue. And then, so real estate agent licensing per state is different based on what classes you got to take and Correct. The test. The state of North Carolina test is one of the hardest in the country.
I was more excited to see the green light that I passed on the state licensing than I was getting my college degree. Like, getting my degree is okay, whatever. I busted my butt for this one.
So mine was all online. Yeah, Zoom classes that you had to sit in for 8 hours and be watched while you did it.
I hate you.
Oh, it was awful. Because I didn't learn. I'm just going to sound like an idiot, but I'm not a book learner at all. Like, I need to be hands-on completely. And so it was very hard. And it's so bad that after my first year in real estate, one of the people from the class called me. She's like, how are you so successful in real estate, but you were so dumb in class? Like, that's how dumb I was in class.
People person. I learned from experience.
Yeah, I was like, hands on, I got this. Mm-hmm. But trying to regurgitate law? No.
Not your guy. I'm not that.
No. And that's the thing. So much of it is understanding the law in the books of how it works, which you don't understand fully until you're in a deal that needs real estate law or estate law.
By the way, 85% of the stuff they teach you in class, I don't think I've used or hasn't come to my brain for a real life deal.
I'm trying to think of like one thing that I did not. I will say learning all of the memorizing the contracts, and then to come to find out the contracts are almost pre-filled in. That's a little annoying.
Yeah.
That's a little annoying. But understand that the contracts change.
When it's needed, yeah.
Which I'm glad that North Carolina up.
Not every month, but no. I think yearly, if needed.
Yes,
it does. Every couple years, but yeah.
So... You get into the classes, you pass, did you pass on your first, is that a too personal question if you passed on your first? I'll be clear, I'll be honest with you, it took me 3 times.
I took the 5 week pre-licensing class twice, but the first time I took the state test was the real deal. I passed on the first time.
Oh, so you took the class twice?
Yeah, that was fun.
So I took the class once, but I took the state test 3 times. It took me 3 times.
I will say I went with not the right real estate school here in North Carolina.
Gotcha.
And I just went with the first one I could get into to get running instead of selecting the right real estate school that had the more qualified instructors. And I think the second time, too, It was a instructor fit that just clicked with me. Shout out Steve Robinson. But
he's not a sponsor.
I know he's not, but I gotta give him credit. He made it very entertaining, and the stories, I mean, that guy's truly been in real estate his whole life. His dad was in it for decades and he saw all of it. So the stories that he was able to tell that made me grasp concepts, I was like, all right, I can understand. I can remember that sitting for the test, and that helped tremendously.
Yeah, the teacher I had wasn't helpful. So I would do the class and then I would go back in and listen to YouTube videos of another person teaching the class. There was a guy, I think his last name's Everett, out of Greensboro.
Travis Everett, yes, from Raleigh. That dude's a lifesaver.
I love that dude.
Yeah.
No sponsor, but if you want to, you can.
If you want to, Travis, I still owe you lunch or some kind of thank you, right, for helping me get through that class.
So I would go back and listen to him teach the class after my teacher taught, yep, it, because I did not get it from my teacher at all. Only about an average of 30% of people who take it every month pass it. They put this out in their monthly newsletter. But instead, 30%, that means 70% of people are paying to take this test and are failing it.
Right.
That's crazy how hard this test is.
Well, and here's the thing, is people think they need a real estate license if they're going to go and buy and sell, flip houses for themselves. Mm-hmm. It's, you only need to be licensed if you're going to get paid to help other people buy and sell real estate. So they said that 2 hours into the first day, and you see about 7 to 10 people get up and walk out because that's not really communicated properly. So they're just going to go buy their own houses and flip them.
But you can't put your house on the MLS, the multiple listing services, or anything like that, without having a license first.
True.
So you can't do, you can't get the backdoor contracts, you can't have all that access unless you have a license.
Right.
But you gotta pay for all that too.
So it's, where do you want to put your time and money?
Like, your phone keeps going off and we're trying to have our first ever podcast. This is literally what a real estate agent
is. Nonstop. And it's even 7:30 at night, trying to make dinner, spend time with the family, or, you know, sit down and have just a quiet movie night. It's, you never know when an email or call is going to come in. You got to be available to be successful. I think
I almost want to, like, I want to ask, like, where's the worst time that it's, you've had a client call, but that we could get on the air of, like, non-PG-13.
I wouldn't say, yeah, not worst in that terms, but there's a lot of inconveniences. You walk out to the beach, you haven't had a call in 2 days, and you think all the deals are going fine and they're about to close accordingly. You can sneak away for a quick vacation, get the beach set up, chairs in the right place, sunscreen applied, button seat, phone call. It's like, come on.
It's never a good phone call at that point either.
No.
You're not getting a call like, we want you to help us sell this $1 million home. That's not what happens at the beach. You get the call of, the septic tank has to be completely
replaced. Or I messed up and I went ahead and bought the boat a week before closing, and now the debt-to-income ratio is off, and it's a call with the buyer and then the lender trying to make a not-so-good situation good again.
Yeah, usually when the lender calls while you're already under contract, it's never a good call.
Never.
They're never calling to be like, we want to give you extra money because things are so great. Yeah. What is, you said the beach thing, but, like, has there been, like, a funny situation or, like, where you're trying, like, I saw this TikTok the other day where it's a different kind of guy. He's a banker, but he was, like, on a booze boat and he's, like, underneath the people trying to have a real conversation and he's, like, shushing everybody else to be quiet. These guys are partying on a booze boat, but he's trying to do a deal.
In that situation, I just don't take the call, to be honest. I text him and say, hey, I'm in a place where I can't pick up. What do you need? Can I call you back in 35 if I know that the boat's going to be hitting a dock soon?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I have literally been at concerts and been like, because I've had clients that, like, have to talk them off the ledge kind of thing. Or I've been about to, I come off the stage of doing, like, because I do comedy too, of like doing 1,000. It's been a killer set. And I walk off to a wife who's decided she doesn't want the house anymore, but the husband does, and they're under contract and they put $10,000 down. Mm-hmm. And that, where it's like, you come from this really excited place and you're, but then you're having to shift gears completely to talk the couple off the ledge. And not just the, like, it's a counseling session at that point of like, what happened?
Yeah, you're not just a door opener that we get labeled and accused of being all the time. You guys just open door. No, we're therapists. We're marriage counselors. We're negotiators, marketers, advertisers. I mean, we wear a lot of hats as a realtor.
I get a lot of thing because of the videos and stuff that come up on social media that you don't need a realtor. You don't need them. You're wasting money. What is your response to that? Like when somebody's like, why would I even need to hire you? Have you ever had that question, first off?
I guess my question back to that is why are you not wanting to hire a realtor?
They don't have to pay the money.
I think a lot of it, too, is that there's, and again, this is with every industry, there's some bad apples that maybe they had a bad experience with someone that just they didn't fully trust, or it could have gone smoother and someone could have communicated better or set the expectations more clearly up front. And now it's like, let me just try it my own way, myself.
What do you say to the guys who are like, no, I can just sell my house on my own, for sale by owner. I don't need you. You're just going to take my money and do nothing.
If you can sell it yourself and sell it quickly and capitalize on whatever the current market is at that time, good on you. Cool. I'm not mad. However, the longer you put it out there, historically, for sale by owners, sit extensively as opposed to being listed and marketed by a professional. And you're missing out on money that you could have made, even paying commissions.
You're going to pay somebody in that situation. A for sale by owner is going to pay somebody. Yeah. You're going to pay the lawyer more money to do the contracts for you. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay the buyer's agent. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you just have Susie Q down the street, who's your best friend, who's buying your house, you're still paying somebody to handle all the contracts.
And here's the thing. If you're still wanting, if you're on this, this is more so on the seller side, a seller saying, I don't need someone to list my house. I can put a for sale by owner. Most of the time, Mr. and Ms. Seller, you're still going to have to pay the buyer's agent a commission fee. And now the buyer's agent has a fiduciary responsibility to protect that buyer, and you're all by yourself. It's like going to court and you're wanting to defend yourself from the buyer who's got a prosecuting attorney that's an expert and knows what they're doing.
Well, the problem I see, and here's coming from somebody who's been to court and had to pay the lawyer for a couple things.
Right.
You don't want to go into a legal battle with no understanding and no representation. Mm. And people don't understand how buying a house can be a legal battle. If the buyer comes to you, their agent or the buyer themselves come to you and say, this is all that's wrong with this house, I want you to pay for it, and you're obligated to because you're the seller. You don't know your rights.
Nope.
Now, if you do, and you know all your rights, and you know how to handle all this, and you've got a lawyer in your pocket who will do all the paperwork, go for it, like you said. Yeah. But if you don't know any of that stuff, and you just try to sell it, like, you're going to lose money in the negotiating because you have no idea what to do with that.
Especially going up against a seasoned seasoned broker that knows how to play the game and knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Again, the buyer's agent's best interest. They're looking out for the buyer's best interest. They're their fiduciary. And the good one's just going to rake you over the coals. So,
yeah. So the whole thing with this podcast is to explain that, to break it down, to have some funny stories and make it understandable. Maybe help other agents who don't understand or are still trying to figure stuff out. But also just be fun, I think.
Just be fun. Just
be lighthearted.
The world in general is just pretty uptight and serious right now. Just lighten up, everybody.
Yeah.
Laugh.
Like, do your job well and don't be crappy to people, but have fun doing it.
Yeah.
And so try to keep it at a 20-minute podcast every week so it's easy listening to.
Just easy listen. Maybe you get stuck in traffic, need to decompress from a stressful work day. Hopefully we find the way to your audio.
Yeah.
Wherever you are. And end your day on a high note.
All right. And so with that, that's our first ever episode. And we'll play our fancy music out, possibly.
Outro music.